الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وعن عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله تعالى عنه قلت يا رسول الله من نجاه قال أمسك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Let us recite درود شريف عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا My most respected honorable elders and brothers, many of us have heard the small words of poetry and we will attribute that and remember, try to remember before I say when these words were recited. And we hear it many a times on the cassettes, wherein the little children mentions and says, طَالَعَ الْبَدْرُ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ ثَنِيَاتِ الْوَدَىٰ وَجَبَ الشُّكْرُ عَلَيْنَا مَا دَعَى لِلَّهِ دَىٰ أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المطاع جئت صرفت المدينة مرحبا يا خير الدعاء Many of us have heard this, and this is attributed to those little girls who at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was entering the Mubarak city of Madinatul Munawwara. At that time it used to be called Yathrib. And Madinatul Nabi, the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these little girls went on the outskirts of Madina Munawwara and they recited this poetry wherein they say that the moon has come upon us and various other things wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming from the mountains of Thaniyat al-Wada, over the mountains of Thaniyat al-Wada, and how good to what he is calling us, and welcome, welcome, this city has become honored by your coming, O the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very powerful tool, our minds. And in a few moments, you can transfer or go backwards 1428 years. And if you just ponder and imagine what must have been the scenario at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were coming towards the city of Medina at that time, and the welcome that they were receiving. Such a beautiful scene never to be experienced. We know the hijrah, the calendar, is actually from the date of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how the Islamic calendar is given the date. Many of our brothers, mashallah, are traveling, traveled or will be traveling. Some of them have already left. And the first place normally a haji goes to is the Mubarak city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nowadays, what welcomes us is something else. But anyway, nevertheless, what welcomed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were those beautiful children expressing their joy at the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, my dear brothers, at that very moment, there was one person who narrates the hadith that I have mentioned before you, Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir. Before I discuss the hadith that this wonderful sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates, I wish to give you a few glimpses of his life. We know the life of everybody, my dear brothers, but the life of our own, or the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those very special people who were chosen to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were not ordinary people. We know the life of every other ordinary person, if he's a footballer or he might be a cricketer. Unfortunately, our direction has changed. But we need to educate ourselves, and we need to educate our children with regards to who these personalities were who brought this beautiful deen of Islam and presented it to us, my dear brothers. We have forgotten who we really are and who our predecessors are, who our forefathers were, and the sacrifices that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum gave for this deen. He says, I was a shepherd. I used to be in the outskirts of Medina with my flock of sheep. I was a very poor boy. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come, that news reached me. It was not a time like where so quickly the news would have reached. After a few days, I got to know that the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has come to the Mubarak city of Madinatul Nabi, Madinatul Munawwara. And he says, I came with 12 other companions, 12 other people, and we took bayat at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We accepted Iman and Islam. But I used to stay very far from the city of Medina, because I had this work of being a shepherd. I used to look after the sheep. And then we decided and we made mashura that what we would do is that we would take turns and go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the day. One person would get off and the rest of us used to look after the sheep. And that person used to go and he used to educate and learn from the beloved company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he used to return and he used to teach us whatever he had learned. There are so many lessons for us to learn, my dear brothers. When we make somebody become or enter into the fold of Islam, don't leave him alone. Look at this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach. They used to learn. Immediately start learning. The first thing you read or you teach the person is Iman, and after Iman, you teach him is Salat. Unfortunately, in our day and age, a person will make somebody become a Muslim very quickly, but then it is just left there. And sometimes 8 years and 10 years, a person doesn't even know Surah Fatiha. Is this our responsibility, just to make them Muslim and leave them? Look at the companions. They used to teach one another. That person used to return to his fellow friends, and they used to learn from one another whatever they have learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he gives his story. He says, I was too afraid to even leave my flock of sheep. I used to give the others a chance. You all carry on, leave the sheep with me. I will look after this. I am too afraid. Maybe some of the sheep will get lost or something will happen, and then I will lose my job also. I won't have anything to do. And they used to come back every day, one person, and they used to learn something about whatever he used to learn, something whatever was learned and taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After some time, he says that I thought to myself that what am I doing? I am sacrificing the noble companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah. What am I up to because of this flock of sheep? I am a wretched person, and I rather give this thing up and go and stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he made that amal, he made that niyyah, and he gave everything and he came and stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now many of us would know that when you enter from the Bab Jibra'il in Madinatul Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you enter from that, and on the right hand side is the Ashabus Suffa, and that was the madrasa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people, the Suffa, those people who used to live there, were the poor companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say, we had nothing, and we ate whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us to eat. Abu Huraira mentions this many a times. Look at the books of hadith, etc. Look at the fazail amal, and you'll come to know who were the companions who used to sit on that Ashab al-Suffa. Their only work was to be in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their only work used to be to learn whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them and teach it to others. This used to be their job. That was their work. And they used to be the guests of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody used to come and put some dates there, and then the Sahaba used to eat from that. This was how their life used to pass. So he became one of those those companions of the Suffa. And many a times when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to travel, then this Sahabi used to accompany him, Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. And amongst those he mentions, he says that on one travel while I was walking, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was riding on the camel, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me, "Oh Uqba, would you wish to ride?" And he says, look at the adab and ihtiram they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that I felt that it would be inappropriate for me to tell the Nabi of Allah, "No, I don't wish to ride." So he said, "Yes, O Nabi of Allah, I also wish to ride." And the humbleness in the Nabi of Allah, can you imagine? He was a Nabi of Allah, the greatest of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Imamul Anbiya, the most beloved creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gets down from the camel and he makes this ordinary slave or ordinary shepherd sit on a camel, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now leading the camel and this companion is sitting on the camel. What a beautiful sight. What a, can there be anything more, any personification of any more humbleness? There can never be. This is Rasulullah, the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after some time I got down and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat up, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me and he told me that, "Oh Uqba, should I not teach you two surahs? Should I not teach you two surahs? And that will be better for you and something that will be good and beneficial to you." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him the surah, "Kul a'uzu bi rabbil falaq, kul a'uzu bi rabbin nas." And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this companion says that it was a time of salah. The Nabi of Allah came down and we read the salah. And the very same surah, he recited it in the salah. And thereafter, when he mounted the camel again and we started, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told me, "Recite these two surahs before you sleep and you wake up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a means of protection for you." This was the teaching and the school of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not confined to a classroom, not confined to what we think in front of a teacher only. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his entire life, he was a teacher. Whether it was direct teaching from the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or whether it was on this occasion like how he was walking with this noble sahabi and companion and he was teaching him, learning and teaching. This was the daily practice and amongst the behavioral patterns of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst his teaching methodology. You are sitting in a car, you are traveling with your children. That is a means whereby you can turn and that entire that car and travel of yours into a situation of a classroom, and you can be a means of educating your children and for you also to be a form of educating yourself, my dear brothers. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him this surah in that circumstances. Learning is not only confined to a classroom or when you are in front of a teacher only. No, learning is every time, every scenario, every circumstances is a form of a lesson for us. We can learn from something. This Sahabi, my dear brothers, time will go very quickly if I continue with regard to his life. He became such a great personality, my dear brothers, such a great personality. He was a Muqri of the Quran, the Qari of the Quran. He had written the Quran in his own handwriting. And until very recent past, that Quran was preserved in Egypt. He was amongst those Sahaba. Imagine an ordinary person, but he became amongst those Sahaba who were those people in the army who conquered Damascus. In the army of those Sahaba who conquered Egypt, and for many years he was a governor of Egypt as well. This was this ordinary person, but with teaching, with learning, with the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with sacrifice, etc., we find that he became a giant in Islam, a giant, a mujahid for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my dear brother. So he says that amongst those, this hadith that I mentioned in the beginning, he says that amongst the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst I used to be in the Ashab al-Suffa, one day he says, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, "Oh Nabi of Allah, tell me what is the means of salvation? Man najah? How will I be able to attain salvation?" And this is what every one of us desires or is looking for. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't give him a lengthy bayan. He gave him three words or three lessons or three sentences. And my dear brothers, in this day and age, and from now till later, with the different halat and conditions around us, if we see, if we make amal on this, we will also attain najah, my dear brothers. We will also, if we make this firm niyat and intention, that we will make amal on what we hear. That sahabi who was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you make amal on these three things, you will attain salvation. This is what we desire. We want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want najat. We want to be safeguarded and protected from the azab and punishment of Allah. We want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want najat. We want salvation. We want to be able to enter into the gardens of bliss and paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this noble companion three prescriptions. Three. And inshallah, make niyat and make this intention that we will try our level best to make amal on this, my dear brothers. One is to listen only and leave it there, full stop. But one is to listen with this intention that, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq of making amal on this. In one another hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ, he asks the companions, who from amongst you will learn from me five kalimat, five things? Or who from amongst you will learn from me and teach it to somebody who wishes to learn it? We learn what is the niyat and intention for listening to something. It's not only for the reason of listening, no. The niyat should be the niyat of making amal. This is what we need to bring into our life. We have listened and listened and listened. You know, in Urdu they say, sun sun ke sun ho gay. This word sun, it also means to listen. And it also means, you know, when somebody, he doesn't have any sense of feeling. You know, in Urdu they say sun, behis, like he can't feel anything. So the word is the word sun, it's a pun on the word sun, that we have listened and listened and listened, and the continuous listening has rendered us such that we have become like we are, like unconscious to what we hear. Allah give us the tawfiq, make niyat that whatever we hear, whatever we can from that little, make niyat of making amal on that. So this sahabi mentions three things in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you make amal on this, you will get najah. And the first thing, my dear brothers, he says, amsik alayka lisanak. Take control of your tongue. Take control of your tongue. That be responsible of what is coming out of your tongue. Allah has given us that control that it doesn't just speak on its own. We speak and then the tongue speaks. We make that irada and intention of saying something and then we speak. Unfortunately, in our day and age, we speak, then we regret what we speak. We're supposed to first think. They say in the previous time, they should think carefully before saying something. In our days, you must think 1 month before you say something, what's going to be the effect of what I'm going to say. So Allah give us the tawfiq, the controlling of the zaban is a whole bayan on its own. But I'm not going to spend more time on that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith teaches us and says, "Man yazmanni ma bayna lahyayhi wa ma bayna fakhizayhi azman lahul jannah." The Nabi of Allah is saying, I give you the guarantee you will enter into paradise. I give you the guarantee. Not any ordinary person. This is the Nabi of Allah saying, I give you guarantee you will enter into paradise. If you do two things or you control two organs of your body. One is what is between your jaws, meaning your tongue. مَنْ يَزْمَلْنِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ فَخِزَيْهِ between his thighs, meaning his private part. Then the Nabi of Allah is saying, أَزْمَلْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ I am giving him the guarantee that he will enter into paradise. So the controlling of the zaban, my dear brothers, controlling of the zaban, taking control of what we are saying, this is a very important aspect of our deen. And my dear brothers, the Nabi of Allah told the Sahabi Uqba ibn Amir that if you do that, you will attain salvation. You will attain salvation. Man sakata najah. The one who keeps quiet, he has attained salvation. If he keeps quiet, he has attained salvation. So this is in conformity to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that take control, the first thing he taught the Sahabi of the tongue. And the second thing he said, if you do, you will attain salvation. Wal yasa'ka baytuk, stay within the confines of your home. Stay within the confines of your home, meaning do not leave your home unnecessarily. Do not leave your home without any proper intent or purpose. Just leaving your home and going to wherever you may wish for whatever the reason may be, which is not beneficial for you for dunya and akhirat. Just, you know, in futility to leave the home. This is not accepted, my dear brothers. If a person makes his home such that it is his only environment in which he spends majority of his time, he will be safeguarded and protected from lots of fitna, my dear brothers. I'm speaking in Masjid Hilal, so I have to also say that I'm not saying that don't go out in a part of Allah. Be careful what I'm saying. To leave your home for the purpose of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must do that as much as possible. But leaving the home without any particular purpose, without any benefit for dunya and akhirat, this is we should avoid, my dear brothers. This is where there is fitna. If you stay within the confines of your home, Allah has blessed you, and the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us when you make wuzu, that, oh Allah, make my home become spacious for me. Make my home such that it becomes spacious for me, so that I may be able to spend my time within my home. I do not become such that when I come home, I want to leave the home quickly. No. We must find peace and tranquility. That is the purpose of nikah. That a person finds peace and tranquility within his home. In the confines of his home, he is experiencing the joy and pleasure what he experiences in akhirat. He will experience that in his home. So to stay within the confines of your home and not to leave your home without any purpose is a means of salvation, my dear brothers. A person will attain salvation. And the third thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Sahabi Hazrat Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, wabki ala khati'atik, that, O Uqbah, think and ponder over your gunas and your sins, over your mistakes, over the past of your life. Think about it and wabki ala khati'atik, cry over what has happened in the past. Cry over what has happened in the past. What is our habit? We forget the past, my dear brothers. We forget it. We think that we are not accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the past. No. Whatever has happened from the time we are baligh till the time we die, we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though you might have forgotten or I may have forgotten. No. In the books of Allah, nothing is forgotten. Nothing is erased. It is written. So cry over the past. Presently, we may be, alhamdulillah, enjoying a very good life, in a sense that we are obedient to Allah, we have found a masjid, we have linked ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, that's a very good thing. But don't forget about your past. Don't make zikr and talk about your past and take pleasure in the guna and sin that we may have done in the past. No, that's not a purpose. But wabki ala khati'atik, think about your past, what is behind you, and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Uqba, if you do this, then you will attain salvation. My dear brothers, in our daily in our day-to-day life, there is so much of fitna, my dear brothers, so much of fitna. And this sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will I do? If I do, I will get salvation. And these three things were listed, not a whole list that we can't make amal on. Who from amongst us can't do this? No one will say that, no, I can't make amal on this. That means every one of us has got the capability, we have got the ability to attain salvation. Allah wants us to be successful. Allah wants us to be attain salvation. And Allah wants us to be able to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah gives us that opportunity. Make this niyat and irada. The first thing is control of our zaban. Control what I am saying, who am I speaking to? Sometimes out of anger, many a times, unfortunately, we have to say, the husband blurts out to his wife, I give you talaq, 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 and continuously. And then unfortunately, they don't know the masla, they stay with husband and wife for years. And then later on, they come to know the masla, that if you say talaq to your wife, whether it is said in jest, whether it is said in anger, it is applicable. The masla is that the talaq will become effective to your wife. Whether you said, nobody says talaq in happiness, the husband comes and he says, no, I said it and I was very angry. I didn't know the masla, I said it. Brothers, ignorance is your fault. It's not anybody else's fault. Who stopped you from learning the masail? Ignorance is whose fault? You don't know the masla. It's not my fault. It's your fault. You're supposed to educate yourself that this is a masail regarding talaq and nikah. I have to be careful. I'm not an ordinary person now. I'm a husband. I got a wife. I got a responsibility. So this is very important. Listen again and again. Sometimes you try to find a loophole, go to this person, that person. If you say the three talaqs in one go also, it is effective. You shoot three bullets one time from the gun, it's effective. Three will come out, one won't come out. Three will come out. Similarly, as a husband, we have the authority of instituting talaq to the wife. Now, how you institute it, when you institute it, there are masail related to that. We must learn with regard to that. So this is, my dear brother, sometimes an entire home, a marriage of 15 years, 20 years, 35 years, whatever it might be, disintegrates in a few minutes. That's because we don't take control of the zaban. We don't take control of what we speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a tawfiq, give us the understanding, my dear brothers, that these three things, if we try to make amal on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us najat. We will get najat in dunya, and you'll get najat in akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a tawfiq. My dear brothers, we are in a very trying time. Now is the festive season. We all, and the media, the advertisements, everything is about festive, about holiday, about having a good time. Our students also, they are in that environment now. Sometime when you see after the examination, you can't recognize this person, whether he's a student or what he is. Allah forbid, my dear brothers, we are Muslims first. Whether we attend an Islamic school, a Muslim school, or whether we attend any other school, the laws of Allah still are applicable to me. My dear brothers, take care of our children. This is a very dangerous environment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a tawfiq of understanding our responsibility. And let us, those who are of us who are students, let us behave responsibly. Let us behave in a manner in which our deen teaches us to behave. Look at the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They also enjoyed goodness in their life. Let us learn from them that what were the enjoyments that they used to enjoy. Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, he was an expert in the using of the arrow, in shooting the arrow. He was a master, he was an expert. We must not confine ourselves and think, no, there's no enjoyment in deen. No, there is enjoyment. There is permissible enjoyment. Not taking the phone or, you know, doing stupid things, spraying ourselves with different paints and all this type of stupid things. Spraying your hair and I don't know what else we do. Allah forbid, taking eggs and busting it on someone. What are you achieving? Become responsible, my dear brothers. We are Muslims. We are the youth of Islam. Let us show to the people what is the deen of Islam.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.